Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. The subject that's on my mind this morning, the title is Being Diligent in Everyday Duties. This was a subject that I was assigned some time ago, and I was thinking of this morning, thought about it, and I sensed a need in my own life to refresh myself on that, and there's plenty of places that it applies in my own life. Diligence is something that is a Bible characteristic or a character quality, but it can apply in a lot of different ways, some good and some not so good, some wrong. But at the same time, we are expected to be diligent in doing what's right. Diligence is defined as being hard work applied faithfully over time. Hard work, diligence is applying yourself, working hard, and it's faithful labor on a consistent basis. It's just keeping at it day after day, not giving up, not taking a big break, but sticking at it and keeping that up from day to day over an extended period of time. Being diligent in everyday duties. Everyday duties are the common duties, the usual duties, not so necessarily so special. The things we do every day, many of the things we do each day, especially think of probably for the ladies, many of the household duties, childcare duties, especially seem very common or very everyday. And many of the things we do as men in our jobs or whatever, taking care of things, may fall in that category also. They're very common, very usual, very not very special in themselves, and yet they need to be done. Being diligent in everyday duties. Now, part of what I want you to get out of this subject is our priorities and thinking about what we apply ourselves to and what we prioritize. It's very, very easy to be diligent in things that don't matter, in things that don't count. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's very important that we're diligent in the things that do count. To start the subject, I'd like you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, this is the account of Daniel in the lion's den. And I just want to read over it, but I want you to think about what this account tells you about his life. This account tells you a whole lot more about his life than just the words that are spoken. Thinking of the subject of being diligent in everyday duties, we want to read verses. I'll read verses 1 through 16 and then verse 20. And then we want to think a little bit about what that tells us about Daniel and his life. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, of the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did before time. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king hath established may be changed. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Jumping down to verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Stop there. What do you know about Daniel's life? What was Daniel's life like before this? It didn't change this month when this decree came into effect, or this year, or even, I don't think, even when he went into captivity. From before the time before he was in captivity, I expect his life was consistent with the way he was at this point. Things just don't change. Your way of life doesn't just change like that. It tends to, our lives tend to carry over. But I just, a number of those words in there really stand out to me. The way there was an excellent spirit in him, and the way the king noticed him and set him over all the other princes. There was something consistent about his life, and I believe very diligent. He was very diligent in his everyday duties. There was many, many things that he did before he was set over, set in this position of responsibility, that were not necessarily noticed in themselves, but his pattern of life was noticed and was. And when they dug into it, they couldn't find any discrepancy. They couldn't find any abnormality or any slip-up in it that he had made. Verse 4, the way the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against him, but they could find none occasion nor fault. They searched through his life, and they couldn't find any inconsistency there. Talk about being diligent in everyday duties. He had applied it. He had applied himself faithfully and very carefully and methodically to doing what was right. And then they thought that they could catch him in serving his God, and his diligence was such that it overrode the king's command. His diligence was important enough to him that it overrode what the king said. The king's testimony was that Daniel served God all the time. This king, God who you serve continually. Did Daniel actually serve God continually? How was that? Can you serve God continually? Can you serve God all the time, with everything you do, with all the everyday activities, everyday duties that you have? Is there a way to serve God through all those things? King's testimony was that that's how Daniel did. When he was washing his clothes, when he was cleaning his chariot, when he was feeding his horses, when one of the horses kicked him, did he serve God all that time, all, through all those things? We don't know what all he was responsible for, but he could have had responsibility in many different ways like that. Do our everyday duties matter? Does it matter how we respond to them and how we carry them out? Many times no one sees us doing many of those things. Many times they're done in private, no one else would know about it. And does it really matter as long as we come to church on Sunday? Do those things matter throughout the week? Do they really make a difference? Being diligent in our everyday duties. Now, just thinking a little bit down a different direction, do you realize what a diligent person can accomplish? How much difference it makes if we're diligent in something versus careless? You may have, I don't know if any of you ever heard of the Bishop Castle. There's a castle that was built out in Colorado. It's officially still being built in a sense. But it was built by one man. That's what's very unique about it. This man bought 2.5 acres in southern Colorado when he was 15 years old. His intention was to build a cabin there to live or to use for his family, or for his future family, actually, when he bought it. And as he started building it, he enjoyed his work immensely, and he had some kind of water tank there that he covered up with stonework, and people started saying that it looked like a castle, and that put in his mind that he should keep on building, keep on going. Folks began asking him if he was building a castle, and he took it as a challenge. Many people visited and asked, okay, many people came and asked and visited this as he was building this building, and it got bigger and bigger. Many people came and visited and wondered that he was doing it himself. And some asked if he needed help. And I think, as I remember the account, I think he offered that they could help, but no one ever showed up to help. And it got to the point where he said, where he declined offers of help, because he was going to take care of it himself. But when he offered, when he allowed that people could help, no one ever showed up to help. We know how that would work. But inspired him to keep going. He got to the point that he considered it a challenge to build it himself. He dug the foundations 12 feet deep by hand, mixed his own mortar, cut down the trees, made his own lumber, made his own scaffolding, used block and tackle to raise beams and supports. And there's a tower in this castle that goes up to 130 feet high, has a 30-foot steel steeple on top of that tower. And he figured out some way to get that up there himself. Has bridges between the towers, has a great ballroom. What can a man do if he's determined and diligent? It's known to be one of the biggest buildings, or the most accomplished buildings, that one man built by himself. How can one person do something like that all by himself? We need many people working together, and it's remarkable what can be done when many people work together. But one person can do an awful lot himself. What can you do by yourself? What can you accomplish if you set your mind to it, if you're diligent to do it? If we set our mind to be diligent to follow after God, what can we accomplish? What could be the end result? I'm certain there were many times he felt like giving up. One of his children was killed in a logging accident while he was building it. But he didn't give up. He kept on, and he accomplished something that many people marvel at. One other story about being diligent. Several years ago in the South African territory of KwaZulu, and I don't know where that's at, but it's apparently an African country where there was problem growing crops. And the government dug irrigation ditches on both sides of a river. This allowed the rich land to be farmed. On one side of the river was a group of Christian Zulus, Africans that were had converted to Christianity. And when the ditches were produced on their side, they were able to grow lush crops and they prospered. On the other side of the river were traditional Africans who were animist worshipers. They worshipped animals and were not Christians. And they continued, even with those irrigation ditches, they continued to live in abject poverty, producing almost nothing on the same kind of soil. Talking about the difference that diligence makes. The Christians, why was there a difference like that? The Christians believed they were responsible before God to work hard and live soberly. Their pagan neighbors, on the other hand, viewed work as a woman's responsibility, while the men spent their time drinking and fighting. That's what history or what we're told about that situation. Diligence does make a difference. It can, what all can we accomplish if we are diligent? What is the opposite of being diligent? We'd say it's being careless or inattentive or lazy or neglectful. The one other word the dictionary had as an opposite of diligence was the word casual. And I had to think about that. If you're as a casual, the opposite of being diligent is to be casual. Just go with what flows. You take the easy way. Don't make too big a deal about it. Just be casual. That's the opposite of being diligent. All right, I want to think now several points about diligence, and then I think we'll have some practical thoughts about how to be diligent. Well, we'll just go through several points in relation to this. First of all, diligence unlocks God's provisions. God has great blessings for his children, but he makes us work for them. He doesn't dump them in our lap. He wants to see us dig into it and find them ourselves. Proverbs talks a lot about this in a very natural sense. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The sluggard sees what the diligent man is getting and he wants it, but he's not willing to put the effort into it to get it. Sluggard wants the things that the diligent get, but they hate the pains which the diligent take, what it takes to get it. And they're not willing to put the effort into it to get it. They covet everything that is to be coveted, but will do nothing that is to be done, that it takes to accomplish it. Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And we know that speaks some of the get-rich-quick schemes we hear about or are faced with different times. Many different people wish to receive a lot with not much effort, receive a lot quickly. Bible says the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to one. It often doesn't pan out very well when riches come quickly, when great benefit comes easily. Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Some of an interesting verse in Proverbs there. They were animal husbandmen. They were farmers. They knew their animals. But the verse says, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. and look well to thy herds. Now, who makes, they knew very well that if they did their part in taking care of the animals, God makes them multiply. They can't make them multiply. They can't make them grow. They can't make them produce young. God takes care of that part, but they still had a part to play in it. They had to be observant and do their part in taking care of the animals. And if they did that, then God blessed. And God brought much increase to them. Learn to know your responsibilities and care about them. Jeremiah 29:13 brings it a little bit closer home. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Brings it to our relationship to God. If we're diligent in following after God, if we're diligent in learning to know God, we can know Him. We can know Him well. He is found of those that diligently search for Him. The second point I have are great things are accomplished by diligent effort. And the So diligence unlocks God's provisions was the first. He wants us to dig in and to look for things, to dig in and search for Him. Second point is great things are accomplished by diligent effort. And we could turn to 1 Kings chapter 5 and chapter 6 where they were building the temple. Solomon was building God's house. I just want to turn to it and just pull a couple verses from there. 1 Kings, the great effort that went into building that temple, but great things were accomplished, and a lot of people worked together. They were very, very industrious in what they did. 1 Kings chapter 5. Verse 13, King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. In other words, I would believe that was probably a draft or he called men. 30,000 men, and he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens, and so that would be 70,000 men that bear burdens, 40,000 hewers in the mountains, 80,000 men in the mountains. Tremendous amount of labor that went into it. 3,300 men, which were officers, ruled over the people that wrought in the work. The king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squarers, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. With diligent effort, great things can be accomplished. This was a lot of men working together, but they accomplished great things, far, far more than they could have accomplished by themselves. But they worked together to accomplish what God wanted done. Joshua, thinking about Joshua's leadership, we talking about that in Sunday school. Joshua 1, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I believe a key to his great leadership was his knowledge, like we talked about in Sunday school, of God's word. But God wanted him to be diligent in following it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He was to be diligent in following God's word and applying that to his life and making that the direction that he needed for his life. Chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised through all the country. His great leadership was attributed, and I believe can be attributed, to his diligence in following God's word and following God's direction in his life. We don't read about all the times Joshua was tempted to take some shortcuts or to not obey all of God's law. Many times that he was probably tempted to not carefully follow everything that God said, that he had to have to do everything that God directed. But he did, and he followed it carefully. He was diligent to follow it, and he became a great leader, as well known, as faithful before God. Third main point I have is a little bit what diligence looks like, is the way I have it worded. Proverbs 12:27 says this: "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." The slothful man roasteth not what he took in honey, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Diligent person has worked hard for what he has, and he takes care of it. He takes care of the things he has, makes the most of them. He doesn't lightly discard them or throw them away or let them deteriorate or let them go to waste. He pays attention to what he has. Proverbs 10:4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, someone who's careless, someone who doesn't take care of things, someone who doesn't pay attention to the details, someone who's not diligent, says he becometh poor. Careless or deceitful hand, it has to do with being careless or being deceitful in that verse. Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." In that verse, I think of Joseph in prison. We can think about him. Joseph, was he a diligent person? When he was in prison, when he was serving, is it important to be diligent in prison? If you're a captive like that and asked and being held against your will, I believe he was diligent with the things that he was asked to do in prison. And because of that, he was given responsibility. And the verse says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." How many people are in prison and feel like it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter how they respond. They don't have to be careful to do the things they should. You would tend to think that in a place like that, that it wouldn't matter as much. But I believe Joseph was very diligent in what he did in all areas of life, and he became a great leader. God used him mightily. Fourth point I have is God rewards diligence. There is a feeling of reward and accomplishment that goes with diligence. We know that. Galatians 6:9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There is in all of us a proneness to get tired and relax of our duties, to give up, to relax, to back off of our diligence in doing the things that we need to do. That verse says, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." Our reward might be delayed, but it will surely come, and it will be worth it. It's worth it to be diligent. It's worth it to keep at it and to pay attention to those little things. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." That speaks about everyday duties, not some big grandiose project, not some great big project that everybody's going to notice. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." And it speaks of in the grave, after we're through life, is not there's not further opportunity. We have the opportunity to do our work well now. We have the opportunity to do our work now. We may as well do it well, because someday our time here on this earth is over. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8 talks about doing our work as unto the Lord and not unto men. And that's a very important principle that we need to keep in mind as we go through life. So many of the things we do, if we can remember that we're doing them as to the Lord and not unto men, if we can see that we're doing them for a purpose, it helps us to do them right. Colossians says pretty much the same thing. Chapter 3, 22 through 25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. When I think about that, doing our things as unto God, I don't think I'm really getting into the next point, but if we see the significance of what we're doing, I think different times, earlier in my life, I worked down at Rod and Staff, and there was many, many menial tasks there, many, many things, packing books into boxes just from morning till night, folding books, stacking them, and trimming them, and all kinds of menial tasks. But many of the workers there found great inspiration in doing their menial tasks from day to day, and thinking about where those books would go, and when they would go out the door in the box to California or to Colorado or to Montana or to Maine or to New Hampshire or wherever, they would think about where those books were going and the people that would be receiving those books and what it would mean to them. And many of those workers found much inspiration and meaning in their work, because they felt they were doing something worthwhile for God's kingdom. And I think about that many times. And if we can think about our work and find meaning in it, as in doing our things to God, if we can see the value that it brings to his kingdom, and many things we do, you know, the things we do, we just often don't think about that part of it. We often don't think about that part of it. And there are things that we can do that are selfish, and we need to be careful about that. We should try to prioritize the things that are accomplishing his will. And whether it's as simple as changing a diaper or feeding the family or whatever, changing the oil in the vehicle, taking care of fixing the furnace or whatever, those things, there really is meaning in them, and we can find value in them, because they need to be done, and they need to be done for us to be a part of God's kingdom. And we should be careful to prioritize things that have bigger influence in his kingdom, meeting the neighbors. You know, how we need to clean the leaves out our spoutings, green spoutings, and things like that. But how about if we get tied up doing that and we miss visiting our neighbor who we should visit? Cleaning a spouting might be important. It helps keep dampness out of the basement, whatever. But really, in the long run, we can be diligent in the wrong things or things that don't matter as much. And it's important that we're diligent in the things that will matter and do make a difference in life. There's many, many people, maybe you could use athletes as an illustration, who are very, very diligent about exercise and training and putting their efforts into those things that really don't profit in the long run. And we'll touch on that even more just in a little bit. My next point enlarges on what I'm just saying. How do we determine what to be diligent about? We need to discern what we're being diligent at. Psalm 64:6 says, talks about those who are diligent in the wrong thing. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, but the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. People who are diligent and trying to find trouble, trying to find opportunities to cause mischief for other people. And people can be diligent in doing that. There are thieves and wrongdoers who are very, very diligent about what they do. If they put as much effort into doing right, you think they'd be a lot further ahead. They put a lot of effort into it. And so it's important we think about what we're being diligent at. And just being diligent is not an end in itself. But we can look for the good, look to be diligent in the things that are important and that will matter and that will help to further God's kingdom. Most of all, we need to be diligent to grow spiritually. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. I would like if you'd turn there. We'll just read a little bit in there. I don't think we'll read the whole thing, but 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, think back to that castle, that bishop castle. That man could apply himself and be diligent in building that and putting his whole life into that and accomplish something great. If we would apply ourselves like that, to these verses, to being a godly person, to growing in our spiritual life, how far can we get? How much could we accomplish? What kind of giant would we be? It seems like, well, I know that I could apply myself a lot more to them. I could be a lot more diligent in growing in those areas. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Grow in our spiritual lives. Joshua 22, verse 5 says, take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua's admonition, I believe, to those that were coming after him, what was to follow the way of Moses, follow the one who had gone before, but to apply themselves to love God, but to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and cleave to him and serve him with all your heart. If you're going to cleave to him and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that's being diligent. That's what will a life like that look like? Our diligence, in conclusion, our diligence should prepare us to meet Christ when he comes again. As we said before, we can be diligent in many different things, but we want to be diligent in the things that are going to prepare us to meet Christ, to be ready for his coming. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Our purpose in life and our goal in life should be that we can be found when he comes back, that we can be found in peace, without spot and blameless. That speaks of being diligent. We need to be diligent in life now if we're going to be found that way when God returns. God created us. Okay, Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." God tells us to keep our heart with all diligence. He created us. He made it our heart. He gave us our heart. He knows what our heart's tendencies and temptations are. And he says that we're supposed to keep our heart with all diligence. Keep our heart with all diligence. Watch it carefully. Guard it. Direct it. Say no to our heart for the wrong things. And direct our heart toward the right things. Keep it diligently so that we can be found faithful of him when he returns. May God help us to do that, to be diligent in our lives, in the things that matter, but to apply, to take our Christian life seriously, to be diligent in our Christian life, and not just to take it as a casual thing, not just to take it in a haphazard way. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.